During the season of Advent, we are exploring some of the names of Jesus that we find in Scripture. So far, we've explored the names Son of Man and Prince of Peace. For those names, we started with Old Testament prophecies that referred to the Son of Man and the Prince of Peace when talking about the Messiah. Then we saw how those names were reflected in the gospel readings that were part of the assigned lectionary texts for those days. Now, today is a little bit different. The name we're going to explore is Light of the World. This is actually a name that Jesus gives himself in the Gospel of John. So instead of starting with an Old Testament name, this week we're starting with a name for Jesus that we find in the New Testament. And then we're looking back to see how that name fits with an Old Testament prophecy. The prophecy comes from the book of Isaiah. Isaiah doesn't actually use the name Light of the World, but he does talk about how God will save the people of Israel. And when that happens, there will be such joy that the people will sing and shout and tell all the earth what God has done for them. Isaiah reminds his community that the good news of salvation is not a secret they should keep to themselves. Isaiah reminds us, too, that we should sing and shout and tell the world what God has done for us. We should remember that Jesus' birth is good news, not only for us, but for the whole world. After all, Jesus didn't call himself the light of your own little lives. He called himself the light of the whole world. So let's listen now for the word of God in Isaiah chapter 12, verses 2 through 6. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my might. He has become my salvation. With joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known his deeds among the nations, proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be known in all the earth. Shout aloud and sing for joy, O royal Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. Here ends the reading. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, and for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God. Now, friends, our middle hymn is so appropriate for this Sunday of joy. It is How Great Our Joy. Those of you who are worshiping here in the sanctuary will find it in your hymnals, number 182. And if you're worshiping with us from home, a link to the hymn will be dropping into the comments so that you can sing along with us.
Thank you.
Please be seated. I am always grateful for the third Sunday of Advent. Not just because we have this wild and wonderful tradition of Bell Sunday here at Old South. Not just because we get to light the pink candle on the Advent wreath, and pink is one of my favorite colors. And friends, you all have just made this day even more special in celebrating my birthday in such an extraordinary way. I'm even more grateful for this day today. So thank you from the bottom of my heart. But friends, I love that there is this intentional moment in the midst of our Advent watching and waiting and preparing and praying where we just stop and celebrate, because there is so much about the season of Advent in our spiritual lives, so much about the season of Advent that can honestly feel heavy and hard. If we just look at the themes of the first two Sundays of Advent, hope and peace, as people of faith, we are holding on to hope in the face of so much in this world that could lead us to despair. There are, of course, all of the struggles and challenges that we face in our individual lives. There's our country, which is so deeply divided that the future of our democracy feels dangerously uncertain. And then there is the global pandemic we have been living through for almost 2 years now. It's hard to believe almost 800,000 people have died of COVID in the United States alone. 5.3 million people have died worldwide. And loss like that can just take our breath away. So there is so much that can lead us to despair, and yet here we are in the season of Advent, declaring that the hope of our faith is more powerful than any of the challenges that might come our way. That is beautiful and hard and holy work. And as people of faith, we hold on to peace in the face of so much in this world that is vicious and violent. We declare that death and destruction will not get the last word, because God's kingdom will come, a kingdom defined not by death and damage and violence, but by life and healing and peace. Advent reminds us that God's kingdom comes into this world not through military might, but through the birth of a tiny baby. And last week, we remembered that God's kingdom comes into this world through each one of us, through each step that we take on the way of peace. This is beautiful and hard and holy work. And now here we are, on this third Sunday of Advent, in the midst of this season when we are doing all of this beautiful and hard and holy work. And today we get to focus just on joy. This break from the heaviness of Advent can feel like a gift. It can also leave us feeling a little guilty. Like, how can we celebrate joy when there is so much sadness in the world? How can we praise the Lord when there are so many people who are still struggling? And this is where I think Isaiah has something to teach us. When we look to the 12th chapter of the book of Isaiah and read it on its own, it's a beautiful hymn of praise to our God. But when we read it in the context of the chapters leading up to it, it becomes a powerful expression of joy, even in the face of tragedy. The first 10 chapters of Isaiah contain a litany of harsh and bitter biblical predictions of divine wrath against Israel. The people have broken their covenant with God. They've been unjust to the weakest members of their society. They've allowed for God's dwelling place, for the holy city of Jerusalem, to be defiled. Isaiah laments for what the people have done and predicts punishment, massive punishment, of those who have colluded with such unfaithfulness and injustice. Isaiah says that in the end, after all the death and destruction, only a tenth of the people will survive. And then that tenth will be reduced until only a small stump is left. By the time we reach Isaiah 12, the people of God have been through the ringer. They've been severely punished and defeated and brought low, and then, miraculously, they are promised restoration, a new beginning, a new leader who will come up out of that stump, the stump of Jesse, and bring about a reign of peace. But for Isaiah's community, that restoration has not happened yet. That new beginning hasn't yet begun when he shares this prophecy with them. That new leader hadn't yet been born. But even so, the 12th chapter of Isaiah envisions what the community will say to God when that transformation occurs. The 12th chapter of Isaiah takes up the practice of joy and gives people of faith words of praise so that we can use those words not only when things are going well, but even when they're not. Brian actually got at this in his invitation to the offering. So often we think of joy and happiness as synonyms, as two words that mean the same thing. But they're not exactly interchangeable. I read once that the root of the word happiness is the same as the root of the word happening. And that tells us something. Happiness is a reaction we have to what is happening around us. When good things are happening around us, that can make us happy. When bad things are happening, we're not happy. But joy is something different. Joy is a choice that we can make, a practice we can take on, and it does not depend on what is happening in our lives. We can be going through an incredibly difficult time and still feel joy in our hearts. That is what Isaiah reminds his community of. That is what he reminds us of. He reminds us that God can work even in the midst of the most desperate times to bring forth joy and new life, which means we can choose joy. And Isaiah reminds us to celebrate joy. To celebrate joy even when there is so much sadness in the world, and to praise the Lord even when there are so many people who are suffering. Because as people of faith, we declare that sadness and suffering will not get the last word. We proclaim that God can be at work in the midst of sadness and suffering, bringing about joy and new life. Our call as Christians isn't to deny the bad things that are happening in our lives. Our call isn't to deny the brokenness of the world. Our call is to trust in God's promises. Those promises tell us that the hard things in our lives will not get the last word. And friends, the brokenness of the world, it will not win in the end. Because God has a different vision. And that vision is good news not only for us, but for the whole world. Friends, our Savior is the light of the world. So let's not be shy about singing his praises. Let's not be shy about shouting for joy. Let's not be shy, friends. Just like we are not shy, right, about ringing our bells. Let's do it. Friends, let's be as bold about proclaiming the goodness of our God out in the world, as bold as we are about ringing our bells here in this place. Let's declare over and over again that sadness and suffering will never be the end of the story, because the light of the world is still shining. And that is good news of great joy for all people. Amen.